Well, it was exciting to 50 years later watch the next attempt at going toward the moon, and in fact going further, going around the other side of the moon, a place no one has ever been. Well, no human has ever been that we're aware of. And we all got to see some pictures that no one has ever seen. It must have been very exciting for Michael Narlock. He is the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy. And Artemis II has returned to Earth safely. And we're going to take a look at that and maybe what's next for our space exploration. Michael, I had to be, for a guy in your line of work, a very exciting time.
Oh, it's just a great time to be alive, isn't it? I mean, we haven't been to the moon in 50 years. We've sort of abandoned the moon in favor of low Earth orbit space stations. But I think humanity is getting ready to take a larger step into our solar system, and the moon is that next step.
And what is the, I know there's an Artemis 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8, and I don't know how far the numbers go. What is the very next step now?
So Artemis 3, which will launch in 2027, is very similar to Apollo 9 from the late 60s. This is going to be a rehearsal of docking the spacecraft with the landing part of the spacecraft, which is actually being made by third-party companies. It'll also be a test for the extravehicular suits that you could use in a spacewalk, or obviously they'll use them landing on the moon and walking around. So this is going to be a dress rehearsal of all the key components. It won't go to the moon like Artemis 2 did. That will be reserved for Artemis 4, which is supposed to launch in 2028, and that will see human beings once again on the surface of the moon.
Very exciting, for sure. And since you're a student of all of this and a professor of all of this for the rest of us, as the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy, it occurs to me that you mentioned their suits, testing out their suits. And when it comes to 2028, Artemis 4, that they, I guess, actually touch down on the moon, 2028, is that what you said?
Yeah, they'll touch down in the South Polar region.
So the question would be, in the 50 years since that happened, and I happen to be around for that, and working in broadcasting, in fact, how different are the suits going to be? What have we learned that we will incorporate into the new spacesuits, for example?
Well, I mean, largely the function of the suits remains the same. Keep the human being safe and comfortable away from radiation and vacuum. Certainly the articulation of the joints looks somewhat different than the old-time spacesuits, which were largely made out of fabric. I know there have been suits that have been designed in the time since Apollo that almost looked like armor. They were articulated and had metal sheathing on the outside. The goal is all the same, regardless of what it looks like. Even when we talk about Artemis and the Orion spacecraft, they look a little bit different than the pictures from Apollo. And that's just because technology has improved. But the form and function of what they do, getting us from point A to point B, keeping us safe while we're on the lunar surface and then safely on the way back, it's all the same thing. It's very eerie, actually, to look at Artemis, and you could almost compare it point by point to what we did in Apollo. Now, there are some steps we skip because we know more things now than we did back in the 60s, but this is, I was telling my kids just the other day, you know, pay attention to this. I wasn't around when we landed on the moon, but in their lifetime, in our lifetimes, we could see a lunar baby, you know, once we start to colonize and put a permanent settlement on the moon. It's the stuff of science fiction.
It really is. You know, and back then, 50 years ago, it was NASA's show. It was NASA, NASA, NASA. Now, there were obviously Norman Thickall, or I can't think of the names. There were some brands. There were some names out there. But it was NASA's show all the way. We never doubted that. Was this NASA's show all the way this time for Artemis?
For some of it, but certainly SpaceX and Blue Origins, they're contributing some of the human landing systems. There's definitely been more... third-party companies. But as you said, you know, North American, Morton Thiokol.
That's it, Morton Thiokol, yeah.
They all play a role because, you know, NASA as an agency provides engineering and provides support and provides the astronauts, but the actual building of the things are routinely outsourced. These are now outsourced to probably more prominent companies like SpaceX and Blue Origins, who have, you know, key figures in leadership that, you know, whose names everybody knows. So it's a little bit of a different flavor this time, but still they're relying on the infrastructure in the United States and I want to say in Canada too, but I'm not 100% certain on that. I know we had in Artemis II a Canadian astronaut on board, but this is largely a North American adventure.
Michael Narlock is here, the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy, and we're talking and celebrating Artemis II, its safe return to Earth with our four astronauts and already taking a look at Artemis 3 and Artemis 4 and all the different things that are ahead of us. It's great timing because there was a time when people started taking this stuff for granted and not even paying attention. Challenger changed a lot of that. We realized just how dangerous this business can be. And I think people still believe it. And there seems to be a renewed interest in this this challenge of going to the moon and then setting up shop on the moon to get ready to go to Mars. It's pretty exciting.
Very.
Thanks for your expertise. We'll talk again soon, Michael. Appreciate you very much.
Looking forward to it.
Michael Narlock, Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy. And they always have something interesting going on over there at Cranbrook and all the different things they can share with us. Are always well worth it and exciting. We're very lucky to have them around. As we continue in Focus on WJR. You know, I was thinking about this a lot while on vacation, although I'm not supposed to think about, you know, these things. I'm a human being like you're a human being, at least as far as I know. Most of our listeners are human beings, but we do lead the market in non-human listening. So I just wanted to point that out. I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just saying it because no one else has said it yet. But I have to tell you, I have thought about my mortality and what I'm going to try to leave behind for my family one day in, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And one thing I was thinking about is how I need to get in touch with estate planning legal services. Because I've learned enough about them now in their 25 years of serving Metro Detroit families that these are the guys I can trust and put my future and my family's future in their hands. Because I do know this from a family of lawyers and all of that. Probate is bad. That's a simple statement, a factual statement. Probate is bad. It's slow. It's expensive. It's completely public. The good news is, you can avoid probate entirely with a revocable living trust. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. What the heck does that mean? Well, I can tell you that a revocable living trust keeps you in control of the who, the what, and the when. Who receives your assets, what assets they receive, and when they receive them. And when your assets are properly owned by or payable to the trust, you bypass probate and protect your family from the delays and costs that come with probate. So, okay, Paul, now that we know that, what now? Well, I wasn't going to bring this up without giving you an answer, and a very good one. Estate Planning Legal Services. Estate Planning Legal Services. At EPLSPC, their attorneys walk you through every step. They will help retitle your assets at no charge. They will help you retitle your assets at no charge. That's not no small feat. And if you need any changes in the future, once you're a member and working with them, if you need any changes in the future, they're free for life. Again, with more than 25 years serving Metro Detroit families, they know how to make the process clear, affordable, and stress-free. You hear about these things, but you never know how to do it or go about it. Now I'm telling you, get the peace of mind you deserve. Contact Estate Planning Legal Services today for your free consultation. Learn how a revocable living trust can work for you. Call them at 248-435-0400. That's 248-435-0400. 0400 or go to EPLSPC.com. That stands for Estate Planning Legal Services PC.com. EPLSPC.com or call them at 248-435-0400. 248-435-0400. Do what I'm going to do. Contact Estate Planning Legal Services today for your free consultation. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR.